Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Erechim Lamed Beis. We begin at the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, which is five lines off the bottom. So, Bate Erechim, the home in a walled city, once sold, can be bought back. You can compel the buyer to sell it back to you, provided it's still within a year of purchase. Says the Mishnah, Barishoina, way back in the day, Hayinitman, Yoim Shnemasar Chodesh. So come last day of the year, of the year-long buyback time frame, last day, the buyer says, I'm getting out. I'm disappearing. So that the seller can't find me to buy back his house. So he would take off. He would hide. That very last day of the 12-month period, which of course was not fair to the seller. Why would he do that? So that he keeps the house for keeps. That wasn't a very fair system. If you can just disappear on him, Hiskin Hillel Hazaka, Hillel Hazaka made a takana, established a system. You don't need him. Leave the money, you know, in the Beis Hamikdash there. Put it in a, you know, and you know, you come and you get it when you're up to it. Hiskin Hillel Shehichelish, he would drop off Moisav, the money. So the seller would drop off his money, the lishka, in the lishka, this special, you know, this chamber in the Beis Hamikdash, leave it there until the fellow decides to come pick up his money. And then you can access, and now you can just access the house without his permission. And he can break the door, v'nichnas, and enter the home. You don't need his presence. You don't need his consent. You don't need his cooperation. And when that fellow decides to come around and pick up his money, he'll know where to find it. Yova, Vitos, Moisav, and come pick up his money. Omar Rava, says Rava, we can derive an interesting halacha from the very fact that it even necessitated an establishment of a special halacha, a special system of forced payment. We can conclude that typically you can't force. You cannot compel a person to receive your money, if not for this special takana that allows it. Amar Rabbi mitakanasa shehillel, based on this new takana of Hillel, we can derive regarding a similar halacha. For instance, Hareza Gitech, a fellow issues a divorce document to a woman, Almanas, on condition you pay me $200. Shetit nlima saimses. And then he's playing games. He's not accepting the money, right? To keep her, you know, wants to keep her on limbo. But not like, so if she paid him the money, vidaita, willingly, migurashes. So the divorce takes effect. Baal karchoi, let's say she paid it him, baal karchoi, unwillingly. And she says she lost some bevesai, she put it into this fellow's house. It doesn't work. And migurashes. It's not a valid divorce. Because you cannot force a person to accept payment from you. How do I know? From the fact that midi Yisrach lay the Hillel tikune, we turn to the next amud. From the very fact that Hillel had to make this special takana, that in this case, in Sina Baal Korcho, you have Nesina, that a forced payment is considered a valid payment. Habalma, what does that tell us that about, you know, in general, that this type of transfer doesn't work? Nesina Baal Korcho, you have Nesina, a forced transfer doesn't work. Now, by the way, Tosis points out, of course you can't force a person to accept a gift. That's out of the question. Rather, what we're discussing is a payment which you're compelled to make. I mean, she took a divorce and she's compelled to complete her end of the bargain. So you'd think, perhaps, since she's compelled to do it, he has to accept it, whether he likes it or not. She has to be mekayem the get. First limit to the case in our Mishnah. Look, It's critical for him to deliver this money so he can get his house back. So that's the shy, that's the discussion. It would seem you can't force him. Unless it's a special takana, as per our mission. But otherwise, in general, you can't. You need his cooperation. Mask of the Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asks, Vitema Samsei Rav Ashi. Perhaps you can. Typically, you can force him to accept. If he's around, if it's befanov. The reason why we need a special takana in our case, because there were two strikes. He was unwilling, and he wasn't even around. Perhaps he'll only needed to make the special allowance. That's when it's shalai b'fanav, when it's not in his presence. He was hiding. Al b'fanav, but if he's around, too bad on him. Bein midaita, bein bal karcha, have matan. It's considered a proper transfer, whether he likes it or not. And therefore, in the case of the get, if she finds him, she just throws it at him and puts it in his. It works. Iko de amri. In fact, it was a another version of this whole discussion. Amar Rava. So Rava commented on our Mishnah mitakanosa shel Hillel based on Hillel's newly established takana to allow forced payment to buy back the house. Hareza gita. So let's say in a case where he issues a get, amanas shetitni masayim. This is on condition that he pay me $200. Amnasan she paid it to him. Be midaita v'makocha v'nesina. Whether or not he likes it, whether or not he's cooperating, is considered a transfer and a payment, and the get is activated. Because if it's in his presence, it works. Hillel only had to step in when it was in his absence. You have two strikes against you, but if he's around, you give it to him, it's his. Whether or not he's cooperating, it works. Have a nice. So they asked, who says? Maybe even in his presence, it doesn't help. If he's an unwilling partner. It so happens that Hillel needed to be misakin when the fellow disappeared. It so happens to be that he would typically disappear. And that was the, you know, circumstance surrounding the. But who says if he would have been here, it would be any better? Hillel would still have to make the same takana because you can't force a person to accept your payment. Vidumah perhaps bein befonu, bein mishloli befonu. Whether or not he's here, midai tayin. He's in cooperation. It works. Balkar chalei. But against this will, you can't. Vehilu my district to katakin. In Hillel's case, it so happens to be that he would disappear and he had to be masakin to address that. But perhaps even without that factor, it wouldn't help us. You would still have to be masakin that it's considered a payment because balkar chalei. It doesn't work. So in the case of the get, if it's a forced payment, even if he's around, who says it works? Continues the mission. So just bottom line, we have the halacha that you can redeem it within a year. What if he disappears on you? He'll hazak in a special takana, drop it in the pushka there. He'll pick it up when he's up to it. What does that tell us regarding a general Baal Karche payment? So that's depend on the two versions of the Gemara. Going to the first version, even Baal Karcha and a Sina, if he's around. Going to the second version, not necessarily so. So we speak about a home within a walled city. What's considered a bais in a Batei Rechaima? Just a place of dwelling? What about a facility, a factory? What about a field within a walled city? So which process would apply to that? So we know that typically a field would have its own buyback system. There's a mandatory 2-year wait before you buy it back. You only buy back until the Yovel, right? On the other side of the spectrum, we have the bias in a Arei Chaim, in a walled city, where it goes the opposite. You can buy back right away, but only up until a year. So we have to, you know, explore in which situation would this system apply, and in which situation would the other system apply. Kol shelufnim min hachaima, says the mission. Any structure, anything within the walled city, you have a cistern in the ground, you know, a water reservoir, you have a bathhouse, right? It's classified as Bate Rechaimo, even though it's not technically a place of dwelling. Chutzman Asadis. Except for an actual field. You know, that's a totally different type of entity. And the redemption process is as per discussed in the past. Right? So you need to wait, you know, give them 2 years, and then you can just redeem it, you know, until Yovel, after which it comes back to you, you know, if it was unredeemed. Okay, so any structure, yes, but otherwise not. Remei Imar Fasodes, he says, this classification applies to fields as well. If it's within a walled city, it follows that system where it can be bought back only up until the year. Now, what about a home within the wall itself? Built, you know, in the actual wall, the thickness of the wall. Like we have in, you know, Sefer Yeshua, Rachav, right? She lived in the wall, the spies that were sent to survey the land, they sent by Yeshua, right? They stayed in her place, which was actually in the wall itself. Interesting configuration. Do you say it's considered within a walled city? Or do you say no, because it is the wall? It doesn't qualify. Of course it does. The outer wall of the home is the wall of the city, and it's considered contained within the walls of the city. Rishim Noimer, Kais Lachitzen, the outer wall of the house, Yichay Masi, that's the wall of the city, so it's considered Bati Erichay. Tanur Abana. Okay, let's explore all the different types of facilities and what's included and what's not. Tanur Abana, bias. Pasuk speaks about a home. Ain't a bias? Perhaps only a home qualifies. Menayin Rabbis Bati Badam, what about olive presses, batim chatzois, bathhouses, umigdalis, these in-ground, you know, armoires, v'shevach and birdhouses, boiris, v'shech and marzal, types of holes and cisterns and containments in the ground. Tamalayma asha be'ir, any in-ground facility in the city. Yochel shani marba fasadis, what about a land, a farm? Tamalayma bais, that has to be, you know, a structure, like a house. Divir abiyut, ramel imer, even a field. So when it says bias, ain't lila bias, perhaps only an actual home. Menayin l'rabbis bate batim, bate machatzois, magdolois, v'sheivachim, noboris, shichim oros, v'lusadois, and even farms, tamalim eshabir. Anything within the city is considered for this process. V'aloksiv bias. Why does the pasuk single out a home if you can even include farms? Amar v'chizim arv katina, you're right. We're not speaking about a regular farm intended for agriculture. Rather, Remeir only includes a piece of land which is intended for building material supply. So it's close enough to a home because it's supporting the homes, it's supplying material for the homes. But you're right, just a plain farm, of course, is not included because it's totally dissimilar to bais. But this is close enough. It's supplying material for building of homes. Arav Katina Chusus, Rashi explains, this place where they hew the stones, or Metzula, some place which supplies sand for the, you know, the cement. Ike Benayu, that is the subject of our dispute, which Rabbi considers as bias Bate Barichayma. Latani, in fact, we have a bias which supports this approach, that Rameir only includes this type of property, which has, you know, construction element to it. Chosuz Metzula, Rabbi Omer Kibatim, it's classified like the Batim. Rabbi Omer Kisodis. What about living space within the actual city wall? Bayis Abonim Bechayim. Rabbi Omer Enu Kibatim Rechayim Bechul. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. They're both based on the same pasuk. Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Which pasuk? Vateridim Chevo Badachaloyim. So Racha, she allowed the spies to escape out the window. Kibes Abir Kirachema was a very convenient location because she lived within the wall of the city. Uba Chema Hiyashavis. How do we define this pasuk? Reb Shimon Sabar Kavash Tilekro. He says, look at the simple meaning of the pasuk. It says, Bachema Hiyashavis. She's considered within the wall of the city. Rabbi Dosavar Bachaimi here Shabbos. She's living in the wall. Veloy Beiruchaimi, not in the, a walled city. So there's that slight, you know, nuance difference here between a person actually living within the confines of a walled city or living in the wall of the city, in which case it's not considered, it's not classified as Bati Yeruchaim. Now suppose the city doesn't really have a bona fide wall. Its roofs are its wall, meaning that the houses are built in such close proximity to each other, they form a perimeter wall just by virtue of their structure and their perhaps, you know, slanty roofs which sort of join with each other and create this sort of protective perimeter wall. Does that qualify? No. Or v'she'enu mukefes chayma m'moshe Yehoshua ben Nun. It has a wall today, but that wall was not dated from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. That's the criterion. It has to have been classified as a walled city at that point when we entered and took over the land. That's when the classification, you know, process took effect. But the wall is not that old. Eino k'bat erichem. It doesn't qualify as a bat erichem. What classifies as Bat Yeruchayim? It has to be a formal city, a properly sized, you know, a city. Shalish chatzir, at a minimum, has to have three chatzir, 3 yards, with two homes in each. Shoshnei bat, and surrounded by a wall, which dates back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Mukaf Yeruchayim, Mimas Yeshua ben Nun. Keep going. For instance, I'll give you 8 cities. For example, Kutzara, Hayishana, the old Kutzara. Shal Tzipori by Tzipori, outside Tzipori. Yechakro, another town. Shal Gushcholov near Gushcholov. Yutfas, the old Yutfas, Hayishana, Vegamla, and the town of Gamla, Vegadud, Vechadid, Veino, Yerushalayim, Vechen Koyetzim, and all other cities which fit this bill. Tanur Rabbanon, we learn in the Braisa. It needs to have a proper perimeter wall, as opposed to the homes themselves, squished next to each other, creating that protective, you know, perimeter. Tanur Rabbanon Chayma, a proper wall. Well, sure is a wall eager consisting of, you know, roofs attached to each other. The word saviv indicates from all sides. Prat Latveria as opposed to Tveria, which is only surrounded by a wall on three, whereas in the fourth it has the river, the Kinneres, right, the lake around. So that doesn't qualify. Pratli Tveria Shiyama, because the sea Chaimasa forms that wall on the fourth side. What if it had a wall, but it no longer does? Reb Lezer Risi Eimer, Ashaloi Chaima. So according to Rashi, the word loy was spelled very interestingly. Instead of Asher Loi, Loi means, yeah, he has a wall, Lamed Vav, it was Lamed Vav and an Aleph, does not have, to teach you that it goes both ways. As long as it had, even though currently it doesn't, that's enough. Asher Loi Chaim, Aval B'Shein Le'i Achshav, even though it currently does not have a wall, V'hoi L'Kedem Ken it had earlier, that's enough. Now Tosfos disputes, Tosfos says we have no gear, so like that in our Chumashim, doesn't say Loi with a Vav and an Aleph. Rather, what the Gemara means is that it's spelled with an aleph and read loy, as though it's a vav. In which case it contains both meanings. Ve'elin bat erechayma, here's a list of 8 walled cities. Tana, the Bryce explains for us. The city of Gamla was in the province called Golol Begolol. The city Gedud, right, Gamla Begolol. Gedud was Be'er Yared on the other side, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The town Chadid and Oina and Yerushalayim were in the province of Yehuda, that territory. The Chadid, Vani, Yerushalayim, Yehuda. Michael Amar, what's the Bryce, elaborating? What's the Bryce of clarifying? And Rashi explains, is there only one walled city in Golol called Gamla? What's the point of pointing out one city and, you know, and only Gedud is the only one in Eber Yarden. Must have been many more. My comma, what's the uniqueness about these towns? We turn to the Brisa. Abaye. The Brisa means like this. Of course, there were many more. Hachi comma, the Brisa means Ad Gamlos. If you're traveling up to Golol, going from south to north, as you enter the Golol province, you'll have many walled cities until you reach Gamla. Okay, so, you know, up until that point, including Gamla, are ancient walled cities from the time of Yeshua. Ad Gamla Begol. And likewise, if you cross over the Jordan to the east, all those cities that you encounter, all those walled cities, until you get to Gedud, they're all considered ancient walled cities. Ad Gedud Bevar Yarden. And likewise, in Yehuda, V'chadid, V'ayna V'shlaim, these three cities, Yehuda, are considered formerly walled cities from ancient times. Rava Amar, he has a different explanation as to why the Brisa is singling out these names to avoid confusion, because there were some duplicates. Two cities with the same name. You had Gamla Begolol, which is a properly walled city, Lafuk, as opposed to Gamla, a city with the same name, the Sha'aratz is in other areas. Likewise, you have the town of Gedud Bevar Yadin, which was a qualifying city, Lafuk, as opposed to Gedud, a matching city, the Sha'aratz is found in a different place, which is an unqualifying city, etc., etc. Inuch, Dilaika, the Kavasayu, Lizruchle. So, in fact, the other walled cities, which did not have duplicates, there was no need to mention them and point them out. Ask the Gemara, Yerushalayim and Michlat Bo? So, you mentioned Yerushalayim as one of the, you know, walled cities, qualifying cities, in which case, if you sell a house in Yerushalayim, once the year is up, it's the buyers, you know, to keep. Is that so? Hatani, we have a Raisa, that this halacha of permanence does not apply to Yerushalayim. In fact, Asorah Dvarim, number of Yerushalayim, the 10 unique halachas applicable to Yerushalayim. One of them is Ein Habayis Cholot Ba, the home does not become Cholot. You don't have it for keeps. You can always buy it back. And likewise, Kam Yevel goes back to the owner. Amar Rav Yechanan, and the Rashi explains, because it says L'Dei Reisav, only property which is meant for your descendants, as opposed to Yerushalayim, which was not given to the Shvatim, it was a whole different, you know, allocation system. So basically, Yerushalayim is not really covered by this whole process. Amar Rav Yechanan, you're right. The Braisa never meant to indicate otherwise. When it mentioned Yerushalayim, when the Braisa mentioned Yerushalayim, it was just for comparison's sake that the other, you know, names mentioned in the Braisa are compared to Yerushalayim with respect to having this wall from ancient times. But certainly, regarding practical halacha, they're not like Yerushalayim in this respect. Because in Yerushalayim there's no din of permanence, as opposed to other cities which have the permanence element to them. Rav Ashi Amar, another terrorist, the Akasha, it's not the Yerushalayim Yerakdash that we're talking about. Lav Amar Yosef, Trey Kaddish Havu. Didn't we have a discussion in Maseches Makos? We had a whole discussion there, and we came out that Rav Yosef discovered that there were two cities of Kaddish, two cities of the same name, Achanami, Trey Yerushalayim Havu, likewise over here. There were two cities with the name Yerushalayim. One was Ir HaKodesh Yerushalayim, where there's no permanence, as opposed to the other city with the same name, which was likewise a walled city, and had this whole process applicable there. Now comes an interesting question. Again, why do we point out those eight cities? Tanya. Amar Bishmol Rabbi Yesi. Why? Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elo. Why is it so that the Braisa points out just these eight cities, and of so many others which had been walled from way back? The answer is like this. Because only these were refreshed. Their Kedusha was reactivated, which was a requirement. So although when our nation entered Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua, we sanctified the whole country, this whole land. But once our nation was sent out into exile, that Kedusha expires. We have to come and reactivate the Kedusha upon re-entering Eretz Yisrael in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, it did not reapply Kedusha to the entire land, only to the cities that they actually came to and they, you know, settled in, which were these eight. Shekshe'olu b'nei ha'agoyla, because when the members of the exile, and they came back, Motsu, when they came back to Yisrael, Motsu, Eilu b'kitch. Okay, so they encountered these cities and they reactivated their Kedusha. And Rashi explains, involved the whole formal process with the Karban, with the Bezdin, with the Shir, to give it Kedusha, because as Tesis points out, we have several elements of Kedusha A walled city isn't just a walled city. It has the halachas of Batei Rechayma regarding, you know, the selling of property. It has the halacha that you send out a metzora from those cities. It has special kedusha, so it had to be, you know, activated. Aval Rishonis, but the earlier cities, even those that were walled and had kedusha the first time around, but they lost their kedusha. Mishe Batei Kedusha Aretz, when our nation went out to exile and the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was temporarily suspended. So that explains why we list these eight cities in particular, because only these were relabeled and re-sanctified. Apparently he holds, Rav Shmuel Bresi holds, that refreshing of Kedusha is required. So the original Kedusha doesn't just outlast the Golus. Because Savar he holds, Kedusha Rishon, the initial Kedusha that happened in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, Kitcha L'Shata only, was effective for that time, as long as we were living in Eretz Yisrael, but Loi Kishol Slavi, but did not last, past the Golos. At that point, it was suspended and had to be reactivated. Asks the Gemara, really? According to this opinion, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, the original Kedusha did not last for all time. Here comes a kasha from the same person, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi. So again, he poses this question, why are we singling out these eight cities? You think there were only eight walled cities around? But look, for Nema, we have regarding the land of Oig, Melech HaBashan, Shishim, Ir, Chevel Argaiv, Kol Eila, Arm Betzuris, 60 walled cities, fortified cities. So even over there, they had walled cities. Certainly, it's Yisrael, they had many more. Ela Lamacha, Manu Chacham, Mesel. So why did the Chacham single out these eight cities? You know why? Shekesha'olub Ne'agoyla Matsu Eila Bekitchim. Because when we returned from Babel, they encountered these cities and they sanctified them. Really, Kitchen? They had to re-sanctify them? If you look at a couple of lines in this Brisa, he holds that the Kedusha was still active through the Golus. Kitchen, Hamrinu, we said, you don't have to re-label them. Ela Umanum. It just means to say they encountered these cities and they listed them. Really, they're just an example of the many more. And not only these cities have Kedusha, but regarding any city for which you have a tradition from your ancestors, that in fact it qualifies, that it's a walled city from the time of Yeshua, then he's in. All these mitzvahs apply to it as well. You know why? You don't have to refresh the Kedusha. Because the original Kedusha that happened way back when we entered Israel the first time was applied for then and for all time. Rabbi Shmuel Bar-Yosi is speaking. Whereas a minute ago he told us in the other Brisa, no, we have to refresh the Kedusha. By saying, but we have several ways to explain. One option is three Tanoi. While later Rabbi Shmuel, there were two Tanoim with different versions of Rabbi Shmuel Bar-Yosi's opinion. According to some, it outlasted the Golos. According to others, you have to be re-initiated. Another way to answer is that it's not the same person speaking. Chad Minay, one of these brises, is actually Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi Amra. And in fact, he holds that the Kedusha outlasted the exile, as we had before in Amud Aleph, with the Loi, with the Vav and the Aleph. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi Amr, Asher Loi Chayma teaches us, Ava Bishen Li Akshay, even though currently he has no wall, it's irrelevant. He had it earlier in time of Yeshua, that works. Apparently, the Kedusha just, lasted through the Golos. Okay, so as to the reasons, we have two positions regarding the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Did it outlast the Golos, or perhaps it had to be reactivated? So we have two opinions. One says, the first Kedusha lasted through everything. The second sheet says no. As long as they were there, they had conquered the land, fine. But when we're off Eretz Yisrael, the land's Kedusha is contingent upon our presence. Regarding all matters of Kedusha. So now for the reasons. My time. Demand Omar Kedusha Rishon Kedushah the Shat of Lekishlas Lavi. How do we explain the Shita? Where's the source? That the original Kedusha does not last permanently. Rather, they had to re-sanctify Eretz Yisrael upon re-entering. They came back from Golos. It says, "Vayasu kol hakol hashavim min hashvi'i sukkos." So they erected these sukkos. Vayeshu v'sukkos. They sat in the sukkos. First time in ages. Kliyosu mimei Yeshua ben Nun came to Yisrael. Vatisim hagdol moed. Huge celebration. First time since the time of Yeshua. We're talking about 800 plus years. How could that be? That they haven't observed sukkah? Mitzvah of sukkah for so many years? Efshar bar David lost a sukkah. Is David HaMelech, the big tzaddik? He didn't get them to build sukkahs? And so on and so forth? Achabo Ezra, until Ezra came and reinstated the mitzvah of sukkah. How could you say that? So you can't learn the pasuk literally. Rather, there is a lesson here, there's a hint. Something that went on at that point. Ella. What the pasuk is doing is making a correlation, matching their return to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra to their initial entry in the time of Yeshua. Elo makish biyosom be'Ezra. Torah is connecting. They're entering Eretz Yisrael now when Ezra brought them back. Leviyosom be'Yeshua to when they enter in the time of Yeshua. Just like then, they had to activate Kedusha. Likewise, they had to reactivate it now, because it was suspended when they left Eretz Yisrael. Ma bi'asam Yeshua, just like when they entered in time of Yeshua, monu shmita miyegos, they had to start the count of shmita and yovel, v'kitcho rechema, to sanctify the walled cities. Af bi'asam me'ezra, likewise now they have to redo it again, because these things were suspended when they were absent from Eretz Yisrael. Monu shmita miyegos, v'kitcho rechema, v'aymer, we have another pasuk from Chumash Devarim. So after the Teichecha, after the Golos, it says Hashem will return us there. So Hashem will take the earth. Asher, once again, a reference to our parents and us. What's the connection? Makish Yerusha Scha. Lirusha Savisecha. Torah here is equating our taking over the land to the original taking over the land in time of Yeshua. Ma Yerusha Savisecha b'chidush kol zman. Just like when our parents came in the first time, they had to activate this whole system. Shmita Yovel Kedusha Sarachema Af Yerusha Scha. Likewise, you, when you come back after Golos, it's upon you to reactivate the system again, which had been suspended in your absence. B'chidush Kol Dvar Malol. Hence, we have a source that new activation is required. V'idach. Now, the other opinion which says, no, the original Kedusha lasted throughout the Churban. So, how does he address these two psukim? So, firstly, that pasuk which seems to relate to Yeshua, and what's going on? No, it has nothing to do with the Kedushas HaOretz. Rather, it's referring to something different. That they daven to Hashem to remove, to obliterate the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, which caused them great, great pitfall. The boy Rachman, they asked Hashem for Rachmanas, for compassion. They daven al Yetzer Avodah Zarah for the desire to do Avodah Zarah, ubatli. So Ezra, in fact, led the prayers, and he was successful in canceling the desire of Yetzirah, of Avodah Zarah. So what's the reference to a sukkah? Just a metaphor. V'agin z'chus alayu, and his merits, his chus, protected the nation. His tefillah was effective. Ki sukkah, like a shelter, to shelter them from the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. V'ayinu d'kukah b'kvar l'ved Yeshua. And in fact, that explains why the pasuk expresses like an element of dissatisfaction in reference to Yeshua, because you see that it was misspelled. The Bechaduchta Ksiv Yeshua, typically he's called Yehoshua fully. Bechaduchta Ksiv Yeshua now is sort of trimmed out a letter. The reason is because why didn't he accomplish the same? Why didn't he make the effort to remove the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah and remove that stumbling block? Because Bishlam and Moshe Lo Beirachmi, we understand Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, you know, didn't make that effort because he was living outside Eretz Yisrael. The Lehav of Eretz Yisrael didn't have the merit of Eretz Yisrael to accomplish that. El Yeshua, but Yeshua, the Havli of Eretz Yisrael, he was in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that's chus. Why didn't he make the effort? Amad Lo Yehav Rachman. Why didn't he daven to have it canceled? So that was the trimming of the letter. So in any case, it's not related to the halachic question of reinstating kedusha and all that. It's just relating to a side point, an event that occurred. Very central event, but not relating to our topic. So they removed the Yetzer Hara of the Zorah. And what about that second pasuk from Devarim, which indicated likewise that the reinstated kedusha of Oksiv Hashayorsha v'secha v'yishta, just the opposite, Achikamar. According to this opinion, the pasuk means just the opposite. You don't need to reactivate the kedusha. Kibun the Yorsha v'secha, once your parents inherited the land, their effect is long-lasting. Yorashta ato, because of them, you got it too. Which means to say the kedusha lasted throughout. Ask the Gemara. Okay, so we have the two opinions and the sources. Umimon shmitam v'yoyves. Now, the Brisa indicated that when they returned from Golos, they observed the Shemitah, they counted, you know, for the Yovel as well. Hold it, Yovel? Yovel is a totally different story. For Yovel, we need our nation to be actually residing in Eretz Yisrael. That's a precondition for Yovel. We're going to see later, based on the Pasuk, the Chol Yoshvea, we have to be around. And they weren't. Only a minuscule percentage of our nation came back to Eretz Yisrael. So how could they observe Yovel? Look, we know that when Sennacherib banished the tribe of Reuven, of God, half of Menashe, so we lost a section of our nation from Eretz Yisrael. They suspended the Yovel system because we weren't all there. Certainly in the time of Ezra, the Chassid Bey, where it says that only a small portion of our nation returned with him, 40-odd thousand people. Kol HaKol Ke'echad Arba Riva, 4 times 10,000, Alpine plus 2,000, V'sheish Meis V'shishim, 660, this is 42,660 of a money. How could he observe the Yovel? The Sani, we have a Brisa, Mishagol Shevet Reuven, Shevet Gad, V'achasi Shevet Menashe, but the Yovel was suspended when we lost part of our nation to Golos Shenemar. As the Pasuk says, we have to all be there. Tesis points that you need back on the Flamin Aleph, you need at least a small portion of every you need a representation of every Shevet sitting in their property, in their territory. Across some Dror Ba'ar, the Chol Yoshvea means B'zman Shekol Yoshvea Aleh, when we're all there. Well, B'zman Shekol Mitzasim, as opposed to one part left. Yachol, furthermore, says the Brayas, they have to be situated in their respective territories. Hoyu Aleh, let's say we're all there, but in the wrong territories. Ve'im Urav, they're all mixed up. Shevet Binyamin is sitting in Yehuda. Ve'shevet Yudin, the tribe of Yudah Binyamin is situated in the Binyamin territory. Yevil Nei, would you still observe Yevil? No, Tamalayma, the Chol Yeshvea. It's play, everybody in their places. Mashi Yeshvea Ketikunam, they're sitting in their own territories. Not when they're mixed up. So in any case, they were precluded from doing Yevil at that point. Amrachman Yitzhak, you're right, they didn't actually observe Yevil, but Manu Yevil has got the Shvita. They still had to calculate the Yevil regarding configuring the Shemitahs, because Yovel was a year on its own, an extra year. So in order to observe Shemitah properly, you have to know when Yovel is and factor into the cycle. So you have 7 years of Shemitah, and 7 times 7, now you have a Yovel year. And then after the Yovel, you start the next Shemitah. You have to know where Yovel is to properly configure the Shemitah. Because Yovel is year 50, which is a separate year. Return to the next time. Yeah, Hanichal Rabban, that's true according to Rabban. The Amri, you say Yovel is its own separate year. So you have to account for that. The Amri Shnas Chamishim Eino Min HaMinyan. Year 50 is a separate, you know, year. El Rab Yudah, but according to Rab Yudah, that there is no special Yovel year. Every 50 years is Yovel, but it's already the first year of the next. It also counts as the first year of the next 7 year Shemitah cycles. What's the point? Who cares about when Yovel is if you're not observing it anyway? El Rab Yudah, the Amr, who says Shnas Chamishim, year 50, El Kan, El Kan counts both ways. On the one hand, it's 50, but it's already also year one of the next Shemitah cycle, Lamali. So why do we have to factor in when Yovel is Shemitah and Sag? It's enough to speak about Shemitah. You're right. Havada, the Rav Yudah, is not going to go to Rav Yudah. Ask the Gemara. So you mean they didn't really observe Yovel? V'leimanu Shemitah and Yovel is? And some take out Shemitah because the main focal point is on Yovel. Really? So once part of our nation were taken into, you know, the far lands of northern China, some say that there's evidence of communities, insular communities, which perhaps are the Shevet Reuven, parts of our nation which were taken to exile, who maintained their own unique Jewish lifestyle. All kinds of theories, all kinds of travelers who are reporting all kinds of things. Even recently they say that it discovers indications of Jewish communities trapped, you know, far out, inhabitable, inaccessible places, northern China and Afghanistan, and perhaps Ethiopia. So in any case, so once that happened, they didn't observe Yovel. We have a pasuk which seems to indicate that Yovel was very much in business many years after this occurred. So we have the prophecy of Yirmiyah. Again, this is during the first Beis HaMikdash, but this was after the Sanherib came and, you know, took away the Shvatim. It says like this: okay, once 7 years are up, you have to let the slave free, your brother who sold himself to you as a slave. Okay, so Avinuban, the question was, first of all, what's 7 years? Pasuk says, everybody knows, Pasuk Mishpatim, right? He works for 6 years, 7 years out. So what do you mean, working for 7 years? Avinuban, the question was, Mikes Sheva Shonim, Voksiv Avot Cheshe Shonim, why after 7, after 6? We're not speaking about a standard servant. Sheishlam nimkar, you're right. The person who sells himself as a servant, it's only a 6 year stint, but Shevel Nitzer. We're talking about a fellow who was already past that point. He got the hole in his ear, he wanted to stay on, right? So in this case, he's going to work until Yovel. And it so happens that Yovel arrives after 7 years. Okay, so now he goes free. Bottom line, the pasuk is alluding to the observance of Yovel and freeing the slaves accordingly. How? How could that be? There was no... we didn't have our full nation around. No, that pasuk is not speaking about the future. The Navi is admonishing them. When you had the opportunity to do this, when Yovel was in session, did you actually implement it? Did you observe it? So he was telling them off. But certainly now, it was too late. They weren't keeping it. What do you mean? But the pasuk there says in response to this admonishment, they took heed and they actually released their slaves. Apparently, Yovel was in business. Elam Rabbi Yochanan. You're right, it was. You know why? Because Yirmiyah Hechzirim. So it happens that Yirmiyah went out and brought back at least part of the Shvatim. Restore them to their territories, and yeah, now Yovel is back in session. So he went out and he brought back Reuven, Shevet Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, and all the Aseres HaShvatim which was sent out. So if not all, at least part of them, right? As we learned from Tosfos Daf Lamed Aleph, that you need at least a representation, a portion of the Shevet to be situated in his territory. So now they could observe Yovel again. And who was the ruler? Who was the king at that point? V'Yishio ben Amon, Malach Alein. So even though Yishio was really from Malchi Yehuda, we know that there was this grand split, right? At which point there were Malchi Yehuda reigning over the Yehuda area, and there were Malchi Yisrael reigning over the rest of the Shvatim. But in this case, Yishio, who was really from the Malchi Yehuda, he took over the whole kingship. How do we know that in fact they came back? The Chsiv, because we have in Yecheskel, when he was prophesizing about the future, he says, he said, you know, the Churban is coming soon, the Churban of the first place in Bekdesh, and, you know, this whole idea of a field being restored to its owner due to the arrival of Yovel is not going to happen, because once you leave, you leave. The land, it's not going to... Says the Gemara, why is he even referring to Yovel, which at that point was non-factor, I thought, right? Efshar Yovel Batkin, you say Yovel was no longer being observed, and the Navi would refer to it as something which will be suspended? Apparently it was currently active. The Navi Misnabelein Olav Shibat, Navi was prophesying that in the future it's going to be suspended. El Mamashik Zir and Yirmiyah, apparently what we said was correct, that Yirmiyah restored the Shvatim, brought back the members of our nation, which reactivated the Yovel. U'menolon the Yishio Malchon, Hanem Menod Yishio, in fact, took charge over them, the Chsiv. Pasuk speaks about eradicating the idols from Eretz Yisrael, which Yeshio did, and it says that he was in the place called Beis El, which we know was not really part of the Yehuda territory. That's where the Malchi Yisrael were, his competing kings were. So what was he doing there? Apparently he took over at that point. What's this mark that I see? Told Mashir, oh, that's Hakevish Alakim, that's from the prophet, Shabbam Yehudu came from Yehudu, the whole story, and he was buried there. So what's the Melech Yehuda doing in Beisel, competing territory? What's he doing there? The answer is, because when Yom Yo restored our nation, all the Shvatim, Yeshua Melech Aleim, he took over for all. Here's another source that he became the king to all. From this pasuk, Gam Yehuda, Shos, Katzer Lach, Veshuvish Vosami. So a pasuk that Yehuda, a representative of Yehuda, will be Katzer. Katzer, Rashi says, can be read Katzin, a ruler, because the Resh and the Nun are close to each other in expression, so they can be switched, like V'chad Netzar, V'chad Retzar. So the Navi is saying that the Melech Yehuda will be in charge of everybody, the whole nation, even on the other Shvatim, who are called Ami, my nation, in its totality. Okay, in any case, that was all to explain how they were observing Yovel, which requires the presence of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, while they were missing, they had to suspend the Yovel, but it was reinstated when they were restored, which of course eventually was suspended again due to the churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. Due to the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and of course it was not re-established by the second Beis HaMikdash, as we said, because at that point we didn't really have much many of our nation present, so Yovel requires that, and at most they can observe Shemitah, and perhaps Yovel if it's necessary for the calculation of Shemitah, as we explained. Okay, in summation, so we have this fellow sold a bias, he has up until a year to buy it back, the fellow would disappear on him. Hilazakin says, no problem, just drop it off, and he knows where to find the money. What does that tell us about a general forcing of a person to take money? That was a discussion tomorrow. What qualifies as a bias about the rechayma? Any sort of structure? What about a field within the city, a field which supplies building supply? That was machlekes. What about a house in the chayim itself? That was given to machlekes as well. It needs a proper wall, and a wall built from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, which endows the city, status of Inner Chayma. We had several examples, a printout of some cities that in fact qualified, and we had a whole discussion in the Gemara regarding the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, which was introduced upon the entry of Yeshua with our nation, and the question was whether that Kedusha lasts throughout, or does it have to be reactivated, refreshed, upon returning to Eretz Yisrael. Regarding nowadays, the Rambam actually paskins that it depends. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, that outlasts even the Golos, because that's the Kedusha based on the presence of Shechina, which never leaves. In fact, the Gemara says the Kedusha of Hashem is always around, even when we're in Golos. So that's there to stay. But regarding other matters of Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, Trumas and Maisers, etc., the Rambam explains that expired once we went into Golos Bavel, because the Kedusha came about through kibush, through conquering, which was no longer active at that point once they left, but it was reinstated when Ezra came back with our nation the second time around, and at that point it was reestablished based on not on conquering, they just settled. It's called Chazaka. They just took the land and they settled it. So that they resettled it. So that that type of Kedusha stays permanently. Permanently even though ultimately after the second Beis HaMikdash they were, Klal Yisrael were taken out of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha remains throughout. Shivana Beis HaMikdash may remain Amen. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.